Hi, this is Brian Shearer, producer of Comic Review Weekly and artist on Gravy Boy and Fanboy Almanac. This week's Comic Review Weekly, again, is Andy-less, so you're going to have to tolerate me and Marty as we ramble on about comics and movies and other such nonsense. Just a quick note, we did a little different recording format. We recorded this one over Skype, since Marty was not over at my studio, and the sound quality is a little different than normal, but I hope I've adjusted it enough to where it's listenable. So I hope you'll bear with us and enjoy the show.
Do we know when Andy's coming back yet?
We do not. It may be next week. I'll get in touch with him and see when he's ready.
Okay.
But this is a bad week.
Right. So. It's actually a good week because Dragon Con is this week.
That's right, Dragon Con is this week. But we're only going to be there a day.
Right.
When is it? Is it Thursday through Sunday?
It is. Thursday through Monday, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a long con.
It is.
That's as long as San Diego, isn't it?
It is. And actually longer if you count the fact that they go all night.
That's true. It's like two San Diegos rolled into one.
Right.
Time-wise.
Yes. It is exhausting.
14 hours is about the limit of what I can do standing up before I collapse.
We will be at Dragon Con this weekend. Again, just probably for a day, maybe two.
Saturday,
definitely. And we'll see what we can get fit in the rest of the days.
Do we do like Jenny Breeden and say, we're going to be under the stairs? Do we get her old stair spot?
Ooh, that would be so cool.
She's moved on to the real stairs, and we are roaming around because we couldn't get a table.
Right. At least as far as we know. Now, we may get there and have a table.
Yeah, right. It's us. There's a table with our name on it. I doubt it, though.
Right.
So, under the stairs. We'll be pimping the wares.
Right. As those astute listeners may have noticed, Andy is not back yet. We are under the impression that he may be back next week. Until then, you have us again. Marty Blevins and
Brian Shearer.
We
have called the police to go find the body of Andy Slaughter.
Right.
He may be in India. We're not sure.
No. Milan is my guess.
Milan. I think he went to go see Milan. Maybe that was it.
Mulan. Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure.
Right. So.
So, what's going on this week, Marty?
Well, we got not a lot new happening in the comic book world, at least as far as my stuff. I am catching back up with the Civil War event. And
catching back up?
Yes. I tend to hit the comic book shop in spurts nowadays, and so I don't get all of them at once, and so I have to go back through and try and figure out which ones I've read and which ones I haven't, especially since they keep changing the covers on all these crossover events once they reprint them.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been keeping up with Civil War. I've been reading, well, Civil War kind of invades my reading in the form of Spider-Man, because I get all those titles.
Right.
And so that's pretty much all I'm reading. But now, take that back. I am getting Civil War. One of them ends up in my box every month, but I don't remember which one it is. Maybe is there a main Civil War title?
Yes, Civil War, okay. And then there's Frontline, which yeah, it's an event comic and then a sub event comic that crosses over into multiple comics.
No, industry, no. Bad form.
Now, of the two big events that are happening, I must say that I am much preferring Civil War to 52 thus far.
Really?
Yes.
Now, Last time we talked, you were defeating the purpose of 52 by only reading it, like, once a month.
Right. And I am, well, in all fairness, I'm doing the same with Civil War. So.
Okay. Well, but Civil War is, you know, at your leisure. They're not, it's not a special promotion where, you know, you're supposed to read them every week.
Right.
And you're not doing that. You're not holding up your end of the bargain, Marty.
Well, yes, but I am buying them, so, I mean, there's that.
Okay, well, monetize, that's all that matters.
Right.
As long as you're feeding money into the system, they'll keep cranking them out.
Absolutely. Now, I like 52, some of the stories. There are about four or five sublines going through 52 itself, which is an interesting way to go, and I think it kind of brings back some of the early industry techniques where they would cram a bunch of characters into a book and see which one stuck. That's how DC got its start with a lot of these, Showcase Presents and whatnot.
Right. Well, now it's cram a bunch of characters in a book and see who dies. is what happened. Didn't they kill off Booster Gold? Did I hear that? So I haven't read it. I've heard something. Did I ruin it?
I read it last night, and I can't remember.
Big impression.
Right.
Thank you, DC.
This is the downside, because there are a lot of through lines, a lot of stories happening, and it's just one of those many books right now that I'm getting, and I can't remember the plot from one to the next. Transform.
Maybe if you kept up with them every week and set aside time to read 52 every week like you're supposed to, you would know that Booster Gold is dead.
My DC quiet time.
your private time with DC. You and DC need to get alone and share a little quality time together every week. Maybe Monday afternoon around 3, you know, kind of drift away from your cubicle. Go lock yourself in a stall. Little DC time.
Right. I'm going to take a little DC time now.
If you know what I mean.
I have enjoyed some of the storylines more so than others. I'm interested in seeing where they're going to go with a lot of this. It's been a decent little storyline, but again, it's one of those that I lose track of it in the middle, and that's not good. But I keep collecting a lot of books that I've done that with. Transformers, for one.
Which Transformers?
That's what I'm saying. I can't keep track of the Transformers. I have no idea what's going on, and yet I keep buying these books.
Yeah.
Transformers. G.I. Joe is another one that they multiple times.
I'm confused with G.I. Joe Transformers.
Right, which is completely...
It took me like months to figure out what was going on. Why are they suddenly in World War II and now they're not? And it took me forever to figure out, oh, the title is swapped.
Yes. G.I. Joe versus Transformers is a completely different series than Transformers versus G.I. Joe.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly probably got lost a long time ago and I just refused to give up.
Well, you know, as if things weren't confusing enough in the Transformers world, you know, and I guess we'll talk about this a little later, is I think I posted on our forum about the character designs that were released for the movie, right?
Right.
Yeah. can we say, what the crap are we looking at? This is where I insert my diatribe on character design.
Right. Go right ahead.
No focal point. Nothing to focus on. What's going on here?
That's partly my problem with the Transformers books as well, is there is so much happening on every page. It is, I don't know where to look. So
yeah, there's no. And if anybody hasn't seen what I'm talking about, Transformers. Is it Newmont? Who is doing Transformers? I can't remember.
Don't know.
Anyway, they released the character designs. Did you see Megatron's design?
I think Danny hit it right on the head when he said it looks like an iceberg.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that, and you know, there was another board, an art board where I put some stuff, and somebody said, you know, there's just no center, nothing to focus on. There's no smooth surface. It's all just I can't even describe. When you can't even describe the character. I mean, it's just so much tech going on that's not really... There's nothing to focus on. I think I saw some eyes in there somewhere.
You remember Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that the whole, like, claymation deal a long time ago?
But yeah.
Jack Frost is probably about it. He had that kind of, like, drippy thing about him.
Yeah.
But, like, all over.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just so... There's just no character there. It's just all stuff. And then he's a jet, an alien jet.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released, I think, Bumblebee, which in his they have a big model of the robot form. I guess they use for live action shots. That you can tell that he transforms into the Chimera or whatever, just because there are some yellow things on him. But I mean, it's so bizarre. I mean,
right.
When did busy and complex... I mean, your brain rejects when there's too much information. You know, it just... There's nothing to focus on.
Right.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
And I'm going to pay $8 to go see the movie.
Oh, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
That's why I can complain. So.
Right. So what have you liked this week?
This week? I haven't been by to get my comics this week.
Yeah.
But I think we were going to talk about last week, and we didn't. The last book that I really liked was Iron West.
Mm, right.
Did you talk about that?
Doug Tenapel book? No.
Yes. Iron West was a cool book. You haven't read it, have you?
Not that one, no. I've read some of Doug's books, and I really am impressed with... I never thought I would be, just based on the art style, but it really, really works with his storytelling ability.
Mm-hmm. But Iron West is, takes place in the Old West. And it's been a few weeks since I've read it, and I don't have it in front of me, which is probably going to be a crappy review. But there's the main character who's kind of your outlaw. You got his, hangs out in the saloon. He's got a girlfriend who works in the saloon, if you know what I mean. And, essentially, these two guys are digging, and they come across this object that triggers the awakening of these robotic, mechanical cowboys. And their sole purpose is to eradicate all the humans. So they're going around killing people, blah, blah, blah. the outlaw is constantly called on to be the hero, and of course he doesn't be the hero because he's the bad guy. He's sort of the main character's kind of the bad guy, and of course by the end he's going to turn around and do something heroic, and he does a good job of putting that off. You think it's going to happen, it doesn't happen, and until that, he does a good job of kind of, even though it's inevitable, he keeps you reading, well, how's it going to happen? But the story's got Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, a giant transforming train. I mean, how can you get wrong?
Hmm.
It's just a fun book. It's maybe 160, 180 pages long. I went through it. I mean, I'm a quick reader anyway, but I went through it pretty quick. But I really liked it. It was just a fun story, as opposed to, like, the enormous complexity of keeping up with something like, Civil War, or 52.
Right.
If you just want a fun book that's really engaging and was well crafted, go read Iron West. And that's my 2 cents on Iron West. So,
right.
You also check out, what are some other books he's done? Creature Tech, which
Creature
is
Tech.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Earth Boy Jacobus.
Yeah, that was good. That was a heavier book.
Right.
Than Iron West. It seems like that book had a lot of deeper kind of things. There was a lot going on in it. Iron West is more of a light read. But.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Some things that I've liked recently. Just picked up, when we went to San Diego, I picked up a lot of trade paperbacks, and so I've been going through some of those. One that I really, really liked was one I think that Andy's reviewed before, and that was the Conan books.
Yeah, he did.
And I picked up a trade paperback of Conan God in the Bowl, which basically had, it had one main storyline, but a lot of little stories in there. And I think they've done a great job of taking all those classic Conan stories and putting them into a graphic format. I mean, there are a lot of books that you can, that people have tried to take and put into a comic book form, and it just doesn't work for some reason or another. I think they managed to capture the essence of this barbarian story, all these different stories, actually, in a very good and effective way. Now, I have heard some people discuss for example, in one of the stories, they introduce a warrior woman, and the way that she learns to be a warrior woman is basically by being savaged. By being savaged night after night by demons of varying types. So, I mean, there is still that element in there, but it really does stay true to the Conan storylines. And so I like
the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan storyline.
Now, there was a part of me that could not stop thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger as I was reading through these. But
is that the one where he was? Is that the one where he was overdubbed with a different voice, or was that something else? Was that Hercules or something?
No,
I can't remember.
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. It just makes me laugh every time I think of it.
Right.
But carry on.
Now, it's really good, and I do recommend reading it just for a more. It's got kind of a more literary feel to it, That's all I can do is just recommend at least picking up one, giving it a try. Now, since I'm on the topic, though, of exploitation of women in comics, I want to talk about Superman.
Superman. I haven't been reading Superman. What's
Superman. Superman, one year later, they had some good storylines starting up. I'm looking at the actual Superman title. Kurt Busiek, Carlos Pacheco, Jesus Marino. How do I put this? Okay, I picked up three issues at random, 652, 654, 655. These are just for my collection. I open it up, 652, I get into it, there's a little story, a little light, and then, oh look, there's Lois in her underwear. Just wandering around, which, you know, okay, I understand. That's, you know, they're married. All right. You got that across. Good thing. Now, in 654, I open it up, first page. Hey, look, there's Lois in her thong underwear. Actually, it's not a thong, but again, just wandering around in her underwear. And that seems to be her only role in the
you
Superman.
You don't wander around in your underwear,
really? I'm in my underwear right now. But
That's more information than I need.
Yeah. No, but It's just, you know, it's Lois Lane, and her sole role in these. She does not make another appearance in any of these books except to be in her underwear. And, oh, look, here's somebody else in her underwear. So, I don't know. There's just, I don't know if it's written in this way or if it's the artist taking liberties, but those two, and then you open up 655, and the very first page is a large bed with a very naked Arion and two women naked also on the bed with him. Now, I'm not one to say that that the books need to be written with children in mind. I'm not the of the mindset that, you know, the comic books are for children, but they shouldn't be exclusionary to children either. And I think this opening up with a very obvious menage a trois in Superman. I mean, it's Superman. What, my child has Superman bed sheets. All right, and I could not, in good conscience, hand him this book. And to me, that's just a little bit on the sad side.
Yeah, well, I think I'd written about this, it's been a couple of years, but I was in a comic shop out of town, and you know, you go in and the right at eye level of a maybe a 7-year-old boy would be the porn magazines. And I'm like, if you're gonna sell that stuff in a comic shop, maybe you should have not have it at eye level for the little kids to, you know.
Right
next to your Superman Penthouse United.
Yeah.
Bad product placement there.
Right. And it's not so much, I mean, there are, I will grant you, in some storylines, some of this may be perfectly legitimate to advance the story, but in the cases, the way that they're used here, it just seems gratuitous and unnecessary. So, it's not like I'm going to stop collecting Superman, but I might not be so willing to hand them off to my children anytime soon.
So Superman not doing it for you. What else is going on in Superman other than the underwear?
A lot of filler, seems like. I'm still kind of waiting for something to happen. There's
any day now.
Right now they've just started. They've finished up the Up, Up, and Away storyline, which is when Superman got his powers back. And I was really, when they first came back with this 1 year later, I was really, really excited to see the way that they had brought back Superman with no powers and then slowly kind of developed it so that he had basically his initial set of powers again for a short while. He could jump an eighth of a mile. He couldn't fly. His skin couldn't be burst by anything short of a, you know, an exploding shell. But it was back to that golden age Superman power levels. And I was actually kind of excited to see that play out. I wanted to see it happen for a lot longer than it actually did. It only ended up lasting a couple of issues. But that was interesting, and they ended up the Up, Up, and Away storyline, which was that storyline with Clark kind of getting his powers back and trying to relearn how to use them, which again was an interesting thing. And I think they're kind of in an in-between space right now. The title of this latest issue is "What is the Secret of Subject 17?" which is somehow involves Arion and you know, a menage a trois with these women, and
that's the secret,
right?
Surprise.
And then it's Superman just getting into an introduction with this subject 17, who is one of those born in a lab kind of creatures,
right?
So,
You know, it could be worse. He could have, you know, gotten his powers back. Superman Red and Superman Blue,
right?
I only did figure that one out.
I enjoyed that storyline only because it helped me figure out that this Superman Red and Superman Blue were actually historical, like they had happened a long time ago, which made we have a friend named Ken, and he had at one point a full-size stand-up arcade machine of the Superman game. And in that, player one was the regular Superman.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And if you were player two, you were this guy in red. It looked like the greatest American hero. But when they brought this whole Superman Red, Superman Blue thing, it made me go look. And, oh, yeah, there was a Superman Red who looked like, well, the greatest American hero. But that's the end of my story.
Oh, that was a good story. My favorite part was the ending.
Yeah.
Alright, so what else is going on in the world of comics?
There was one book that, so we don't sound like we're just bashing everything. There was one comic that we both...
Hey, I said Iron West was good.
Yeah, yeah. And Conan was good. But one that we, when we recorded originally last week and ended up throwing that away, we said that there was one shining star in a lot of this new 1 year later stuff. And that was Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Wonder Woman was a good story. Is 2 out yet?
It should be out this week.
This week. Okay. Well, that'll be good. like I said, I felt like I'd been waiting for number two for like 8 years. But I guess it's really only been, what, a month. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it was good. That was, and again, I don't have that in front of me, but the art was by Terry Dodson. I can't remember who wrote it. But yeah, I mean, the art was beautiful. The story was good. And I'm looking forward to getting number two. Mm-hmm.
It was a great introduction. I think they did a really classy job of bringing this whole new, all the new developments into this character, making it new. I think it carried over a lot of the same feel from the old Wonder Woman series, but it brought in something new without just completely destroying the old, which is the cheap way of doing it.
Yeah, it was a good story. I'll definitely have to pick that up. Well, I don't have to remember to go by in the comic shop this week.
Right.
Before Dragon Con.
Before Dragon
Con. Spend my last $2.
Right.
I'll skip a meal this weekend.
Don't make it breakfast. That's the most important meal of the day.
That's what Slim Goodbody tells me. And if ever there were a more disturbing character than Slim Goodbody, I would be hard-pressed to find it.
If you can't trust a man in skin-tight leotard with organs painted on him.
Who can you trust? I mean, come on. You cared about your innards.
Yeah.
But,
So, I mean, apart from Civil War, that's pretty much it for me.
I heard, I read on Mike Waringo's blog today, they might be killing off Mary Jane.
Yeah, I've heard people postulate on that, what the end result of Civil War is going to be. They're going to need something pretty dramatic. I've heard some people talk about possibly killing off Peter.
Okay, Drain, cancel my subscription. They just killed him off once.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's still Ben Reilly out there somewhere.
Please. Sweet Moses, no. Uncle Ben's back.
I want some rice.
An affair with Mrs. Butterworth.
That's right.
Yeah. I think he shot somebody. may have been Smokey Bear or somebody.
Getting back to the killing off Mary Jane, I've heard a lot of people recently, and I don't know where this came from, if there was some specific incident, but I've heard people talking about how Joe Quesada doesn't really like that, you know, Peter's married to Mary Jane. That's where a lot of this hypothesis has been coming from, at least on the web. Now, Michael Ringo's saying it, that may come from somewhere else.
Well, I think he was, I can't remember. Actually, now I've got the internet right here in front of me. Let's see what he said.
Don't crash your computer.
Talk amongst yourselves. I may crash my computer, but it does that. It came from... For sure, at All the Rage at Silver Bullet, comicbooks.com features what is purported to be a leaked image that hints the imminent death of Mary Jane. Hmm. Apparently there's a supposed image of her dying, I guess. But anyway.
Right. You gotta think, though, for Peter, though, that's,
Well, Gwen Stacy's already died.
Right. He's going to have, like, quite the little complex.
Right.
Or maybe he'll do a Barry Allen. You know, he lost one wife, and then somebody was trying to mess with his other one, his wife-to-be, and, well, he ended up in a murder trial, but, you know, we won't get bogged down in that.
Right. Well, you know, whatever. Death means nothing.
Right.
In comics. So,
yeah. Right.
So, anything else going on? We talked about comics. Anything else coming out?
You went to see Snakes on a Plane.
I did. I went at 10 o'clock the night before, on the preview night, I guess it was. I did. Samuel L. Jackson was awesome. Everything you could expect from him fighting snakes on a plane. I thought it was all over the top with the
snakes.
The snakes were over the top, and you know the horrible, gratuitous death fighting scenes. I just don't find gruesome death entertaining, but that's me.
Right.
That's me. I'm sane. But yeah, I mean, I just went to go hear Samuel L. Jackson yell at the snakes.
You're only doing it because he called you, right?
He did call me, and he showed up in Fanboy Almanac and made us go.
Right.
So I was actually scared that if I didn't go, he would kill me. because I've seen
Shaft,
Pulp Fiction, and then Shaft.
Right.
And unless you're the Emperor or Anakin, and you're really whiny,
right?
You don't have a chance.
Right.
Man, that was a bad scene.
Yeah.
Episode 3, when he's with the Emperor.
Yes.
And the Emperor's he's the traitor. No, you are.
Your mama.
You. And he just pushes him out the window. You know. This is from the same man that brought us Empire Strikes Back. I don't think so. But yeah, I did go see Snakes on a Plane, and I don't know if anything else is coming out.
Yeah.
Ever again. Nothing soon, anyway.
Right. All right. That's it for me. Do you have anything else?
I think I'm done. Dragon Con this weekend. We'll be there. Me and you.
Right.
If
you'll be there, find us.
I don't know how you would possibly... Maybe we'll be under some stairs. Who knows?
We'll be the ones not in costume. So
it's easy to pick us out. We will be the only ones who are not stormtroopers.
I'll actually be dressed as Brian. And Brian will be dressed as Andy.
I see two Brians walking around. One of them's Marty. Your job is to figure out which one.
Right.
It'll be the one 6'4".
Yes. I mean, no. I don't
know. We'll be there Saturday. That's all I know that's going on. I guess that's it.
Okay. Andy will be back to deliver his normal lilting tones to this podcast before too long.
Hey, don't we have a phone number people can call?
We do.
Do you have that available?
Hold, please.
Yeah, we've got a phone number that you can call and leave us a message for Andy or for us if you want to tell us how much you hate listening to me and Marty or how much you love listening to Andy Slaughter. Call the number, leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. If it's something that is particularly entertaining, maybe we'll put it on the podcast. When Marty finds that number, call it. And in the meantime, you can go by Andy's Frapper map at frapper.com/comicreviewweekly, and the little pin in there to show us where our listeners are. Or stop by the forums at gravyboy.com. There's a Comic Review Weekly portion of the forum, and you can leave a message for Andy or us or whoever. And, how's that number coming, Marty?
All right, the number is 208-692-5102. Feel free to give us a call at any time, and we'd love to hear what you have to say.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. That's going to about do it for the podcast, I think.
And you've been been listening to Comic Review Weekly.